It's time to play like a Jet with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Mekhi Becton, ladies and gentlemen, human beings that large should not run as fast as Mekhi Becton did. And if you like people just abusing other humans, the Mekhi Becton tape is for you.
Denzel Mims with another monster score of 70 yards.
Quick pass to Crowder, trying to get him out of space. Slips a tackle, and there he goes. Crowder, it's a foot race, and Crowder is in there. A 69-yard touchdown.
Takes a shot. Here's Corey Davis, wide open. Davis. Still going, and he's in for the touchdown.
Hill hit immediately when he got the handoff.
You know who that's?
The Q-inator.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen, thank you.
From the PlayLikeAJet.com digital studios, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it is time to talk about day number two of the NFL draft. A day that was a lot less eventful for the New York Jets than we thought it would be initially, because on day number one, they traded up from 23 to 14 to get Elijah Vera Tucker. And in doing so, they gave up their two third-round picks that they would have used tonight. Instead, they gained an extra fourth-rounder that they will use tomorrow. And now today, all they had was the number 34 pick, the second pick in that day. So we'll talk about that in a second with the owner, the operator, the lead reporter, the whole shebang over at JetsInsider.com. And above all that, a very big deal, Mr. Chris Nimbley. Chris, what's going on, buddy?
Not too much. Just trying to keep myself awake after that long drought between that second pick and the end of this draft tonight.
A very big deal needs his proper rest in between draft picks. So I totally understand how that would happen. You get a little bit drowsy. But now you're fully awake and you're ready to go, as is our other guest joining us again, as he did yesterday, draft analyst for PlayLikeAJet.com and co-host of Play Like a Jet Live on our YouTube channel and with U Stadium every single Wednesday at 7 p.m., Mr. Clayton Smarslock. Clayton, welcome back, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So let's dive right into it. The first pick in the second round was made by the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I actually like this pick. It was Tyson Campbell. We'll come back to this a little bit later because we'll go through all the picks after we get to what the Jets did. But I like Tyson Campbell a lot. I said yesterday that I thought the Packers, who picked Eric Stokes, the cornerback out of Georgia, at number 29, picked the wrong Georgia cornerback. The right one would have been Campbell. And so for as much as I didn't understand what the Jaguars were doing yesterday, I did like that they picked Campbell today. But then the Jets were up at number 34. And from what I understand, and Chris, I'll let you talk about this in a second, the Jets had a handful of guys that they had first-round grades on, guys that they would have strongly considered if they'd have stayed at 23. The phone rang, as we know, Ian Rappaport reported that. However, the offers really weren't that great. You saw what a couple of these teams got. The Broncos traded up with the Atlanta Falcons in order to get Javonte Williams. In doing so, they gave up a mid-fourth round pick. That's about what the Jets were looking at to make a trade back. They felt like giving up one of the players they really wanted that they had a first-round grade on for a mid-fourth round pick wasn't worth it, and I tend to agree. If there's a player you feel that strongly about that you would have picked him in 23 and he's there at 34, no use in trading back. So instead, the Jets went out and they got a dynamic weapon for their new quarterback, Zach Wilson. Elijah Moore, the wide receiver out of Ole Miss. Clay, you've been talking about him for a long time. He was one of your favorites. You brought him up with Luke a ton on Play Like a Jet Live. And really what Elijah Moore is the type of offensive playmaker that the Jets haven't had in a long time. He's a smaller guy, but he's fast, he's shifty, and boy, can he make plays, especially once he's got the ball in his hands. He was amped to be picked by the Jets, by the way, and I don't know if you saw the video, but the Jets were so happy to get him. Joe Douglas called him and broke the news, and then Robert Saleh got on the phone. And if you haven't seen this yet, this is why people really like Robert Saleh. He got on the phone, and he said, "Hey, Elijah, let's go! Let's go!" And he was like all pumped up in the draft room. He told them that they were afraid they lost him when they traded up from 23 to 14, and they were so thrilled to get him at 34. And Chris, you and I pretty much heard the same thing, and this is what they said at the press conference tonight, too. Had they stayed at 23 and not traded up for Vera Tucker, he was probably going to be the pick. So for them to get the guy that they had targeted at 23 and the guy that they traded up for, they have to be very happy about that. Now they're loading up around Zach Wilson. They got him some protection. and a playmaker. The one thing that I did think about right after this, and Clay, you and I were going back and forth on text, I think this could be the end for Jamison Crowder. Joe Douglas had a quote in the presser saying something along the lines of, I didn't bring him in here to replace Jamison. He's going to be competition, and we're adding as many playmakers as we can. Reading between the lines and knowing what that means often when a decision maker says something like that, I wouldn't be surprised in the least if Crowder ends up not being on the team by opening day. I hope he is, but I could see a scenario where, since he's making $10 million, if they feel like Moore can take his place and do it at a fraction of the price, and then they can pocket that money and use it elsewhere or roll it over for next season, that might be what they do. But for now, they got themselves a dynamic weapon that they very badly needed. They've been lacking for a long time, and it's going to make Zach Wilson's life a lot easier. Not only do I think Elijah Moore is an excellent football player, by the way, sounds like a first-class human being, too. Goes along with what Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas are looking to build here with culture. So if you're a Jets fan, you have to be pleased about this. Chris, you've been screaming for offense, offense, and more offense. So far, that's what they've given you.
Yeah, they're finally listening to me. The team I'm covering is finally taking my advice. This is basically how it went, because I was talking to people during the day today, trying to figure out who they're eyeing. And I was told, you know, when they made the trade up, they're the person that they were thinking at trying to take at 23, they figured would be gone. And Joe Douglas was immediately starting to think about, how can I try and get, you know, one of these picks back or recoup some picks? But then the draft ended, and I was told there's a couple guys that he was enamored with, but there was one specific guy. I was trying to get to who it was, and I was pushing my Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah angle. So I was trying to get there, and I think they were playing around with me a little bit. I couldn't get the name out of them at the time, but as soon as the pick came in, it was clear that that was the guy. And that video you talked about said it all. Joe Douglas said that, you know, they got three guys on in their top 25 players. And normally I don't believe that whenever anybody, a GM, say that. You know, every year Dallas got the top guy on the on their board. Every single year they get it. It's a miracle. But to have those three guys rated in your top 25, I think if you go around and, you know, at Arif Hassan's consensus big board, you're probably going to find those three guys right around top 25. So I do believe that. And I'm just telling you right now, I'm not normally during a draft, you know, we go to the facilities and watching the media room, COVID, we're not doing that. But the excitement in that building right now has not been felt at this level since like Rex Ryan days. Just everybody is buzzing and bouncing right now. They are just injected with this energy. A lot of that is just Robert Saleh. You could, the excitement Robert Saleh had on that video talking to a 5'9 wide receiver, and you could hear Elijah Moore's excitement to be here, and not he's as excited to come play for Robert Saleh, a defensive coach, as anything else. He's hyped about it. Joe Douglas, the new draft picks, Zach Wilson here. The energy in this building is going to be infectious, and it has not been like that, obviously, for the decade. It's just been kind of beaten down. Even when you got little injections of hope, it wasn't anything quite like this. So right now they are excited. They are extremely thrilled with this draft. And I think fans should be too. These first three picks, combined with what they've done in free agency, this offense is light years ahead of where they were last year. And I tweeted this earlier. I don't know how good they're going to be next year, but they're going to be a whole lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, you said it, like, Elijah Moore is one of my favorites. I've spoken about him a lot on Play Like a Jet Live with Luke. And I'm so happy with it. Like, going into today, like, I had no idea what their plan was. Like, I expected them to trade back, try to recoup at least one of the third round picks that they gave up for Vera Tucker because there were so many good names. Like, there was at least seven offensive linemen that I was okay with. There was Elijah Moore. There was Javonta Williams. There was a couple defensive players, too, that I would have been more than okay trading back to, like, the mid-40s and try to get a third-round pick back. But they were comfortable staying at 34, not getting an extra pick in the third round, and just taking Elijah Moore. He comes in, like you said, me and you spoke about the whole Jameson Crowder thing. I don't think it means the end of Crowder. I do think it'll be like a competition. Yeah, Crowder would obviously take some snaps away from Moore. That's just, of course he is, because he's a good player. And I think that's why they should keep him, unless they want to use that money to go after a Sherman or hopefully a Steven Nelson. Maybe Nelson and Brian Poole, get them both back, or get Nelson and bring Poole back. Like, that'd be ideal too. But sticking with Moore, I love the pick. He's going to be so dynamic. He's a great route runner. I use the word mesmerizing in the piece I put out today. He brings home run ability. Like, his speed is top notch. He runs off sub 4.440. Yeah, I was at a pro day, but I'm still going to take it. I think he ran like a 4.32, maybe a 4.34. They just haven't had that. Like, yeah, Mims is fast. Don't get me wrong. He's fast. But, like, he's also always going to stay on the outside. They don't have that speed on the inside or the yards after catch ability like Moore has. Like, Crowder's nifty. He can kind of do things here and there. But he's never going to have that breakaway speed where he can just get to the end zone any given play. And that's all Moore. Like, Moore did that at Ole Miss constantly. I'm ecstatic with this pick. I love how we're actually building the offense. Chris hit it. Like, this offense is completely different from last year. Like, going into that draft, like, our top two receivers were Breshad Perriman, Jameson Crowder, and then Chris Hogan. I don't even know who the third one was.
It wasn't Hogan. He wasn't on the team at that point.
Yeah, like,
signed until right before training camp.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I couldn't even tell you. Vincent Smith? I have no idea. So, but, like, now we have Corey Davis. We have Denzel Mims. We have Kalen Cole. We have, obviously, Jameson Crowder. And now we add in Elijah Moore. So, like, the depth is there as at this moment. I love it. Just keep building this offense. And I'm sure we'll get into round four in a little bit. But I want to keep adding to it if we can.
I love this comment by somebody on Twitter who calls himself Geeslin. He wrote, Elijah Moore is like when you hold down the turbo button, except it never runs out, which is pretty much true when you watch him play. I thought that was the perfect way to describe what Elijah Moore brings to the table. PFF had this stat too, by the way. Elijah Moore caught 97% of catchable targets beyond the line of scrimmage in 2020. That was number one in all of college football. So he's got really good hands too. The only real knock on him, of course, is going to be his size because he's only 5'9", but he is that explosive playmaker that they haven't had in a really, really long time, and we are going to have a lot of fun watching him. As I said before, Clay, we'll see. I'm not convinced that Crowder is here to start the season. I hope he is. As everyone knows that listens to this show, I'm a big Jameson Crowder fan, so I hope they don't do anything there, but because he makes $10 million and they did just invest the 34th pick in somebody that can do a lot of what Crowder does, I wouldn't be 100% surprised if Crowder is gone, perhaps to make room for somebody like Steven Nelson. I want to go through the rest of this draft before we get to who's going to be available for the Jets on day number three. So we'll go through this and we'll give our observations. As I said, Tyson Campbell at 33 for the Jaguars. I really like that one. The Jets took Elijah Moore at 34. The Broncos trade up to number 35 and got Javonte Williams, a running back from North Carolina. He was clearly the best running back left on the board and the only one that I thought was worth a second round pick. So good job there by Denver. The Dolphins get Javon Holland, the safety from Oregon. Landon Dickerson, the center from Alabama, goes to the Eagles. As we know, Luke Grant loves Landon Dickerson. I think he's a fantastic player. Probably would have gone in round one if he didn't have medical issues with two torn ACLs. But you could make the case that he was the best pure interior lineman in the draft, not counting Elijah Vera Tucker, who did play tackle. Christian Barmore goes to the Patriots, who trade up. He was really the only borderline first round interior defender in this draft. There just was not a lot of that. This was a terrible defensive tackle class, so it's a good thing that the Jets didn't need one of those. Tevin Jenkins, who, Clay, you and I talked about yesterday, we wanted the Jets to get him at 34. I heard there were some issues. Some teams think that he's more of a guard than a tackle at the NFL level, so maybe that's why he slipped a little bit, but the Bears get him. I love that for them because now he can help protect Justin Fields. At number 40, Atlanta Falcons get Richie Grant, the safety from UCF. The Lions get Levi Onwuzurike, I hope I pronounced that right, the defensive tackle from Washington. Liam Eichenberg, the offensive tackle from Notre Dame, goes to the Dolphins at number 42, so he'll help try and protect Tua Tagovailoa. Trevon Moehrig, who I thought could go to the Raiders in the first round, ends up going to them in the second round after the Raiders trade up to 43. Dynamic safety from TCU. Kelvin Joseph, a name I'd heard connected to the Jets. Apparently they liked him, but he goes in the second round. Number 44 overall, the cornerback from Kentucky. To the Cowboys, the Jacksonville Jaguars with one of the picks they got for Yannick Ngakoue at number 45. Take Walker Little, the offensive tackle from Stanford. Some injury issues there, but definitely talent. The Cincinnati Bengals, with the pick that they got to trade back with the New England Patriots, took Jackson Carman, the offensive tackle from Clemson, who helped protect Trevor Lawrence. A lot of people think he's going to play guard at the next level. The Chargers, I love this pick at number 47, Asante Samuel Jr. He is going to be fantastic in that Brandon Staley defense. Can't wait to watch that. Aaron Banks, the guard from Notre Dame, he goes to the San Francisco 49ers. The Cardinals get a dynamic weapon for Kyler Murray at number 49 in Rondale Moore, the wide receiver from Purdue. The two knocks on him, only about 5'6", and also a lot of injuries, but a nice complement to what they did yesterday where they went defense and took Zaven Collins. They go offense on day number two. Azeez Ojulari from Georgia, the edge rusher, goes to the Giants after they had traded back. I got to tell you, I hate that I like this pick, but I do. I think at number 50, it's great value. I think Ojulari can be a really good player, and I wish he had gone somewhere other than the Giants. Sam Cosmi, who I love from Texas, a little biased because I'm a Texas fan. Washington gets him, so he'll help bolster that offensive line, and he adds to that unit that the best offensive line coach in the league has. That, of course, is John Matsko, my friend Larry's uncle. I'm not biased at all, by the way. After that, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, who may have been the steal of day two. Everybody thought he could go mid-first round. The linebacker from Notre Dame, he goes at 52 to the Browns, so the Browns get Newsome and Owusu-Koramoah. That is a hell of a haul for them. Dylan Raddins, who I love from North Dakota State, he can play all five positions on the offensive line. He goes to the Titans. Indianapolis gets Deo Adeyebingo. I think that's how you pronounce it. The defensive end from Vanderbilt. Pat Freiermuth, who is the second best tight end in this draft. And boy, what a gap. You go from number four, Kyle Pitts, all the way to 55 with Pat Freiermuth, the tight end for Penn State. He goes to the Steelers, so he stays in the state of Pennsylvania. Dwayne Eskridge, wide receiver from Western Michigan, goes 56 to the Seahawks. I like him, but he is a Mike Maccagnan special, already 24 years old. Tutu Atwell, wide receiver from Louisville, goes to the Rams. Apparently, Sean McVay loves him, thinks he could be a really nice gadget weapon. Only about 150 pounds, but he's somebody, if you use him properly, you could get some real mileage out of him, kind of like Jakeem Grant in Miami. Nick Bolton, the linebacker from Missouri, goes to the Chiefs. Boy, do I love that pick. They didn't have a first-round pick, but as Daniel Jeremiah said, they still got a first-round talent. The rich get richer. They were able to get Orlando Brown in a trade to bolster the offensive line, and then they get Bolton here to bolster the defense. I think he was one of the best inside linebackers in the draft. Terrace Marshall Jr., the wide receiver from LSU, he'll help Sam Darnold immensely. He goes to the Panthers at 59. That's a steal. A lot like what happened last year with the Jets getting Denzel Mims in the exact same position when some people thought Marshall could go in the first round the same way that they thought that Denzel Mims could go in the first round. Pete Werner, who you heard Brett Coleman talk about on the show the other day, Brett really loves him, inside linebacker from Ohio State. He goes at number 60 to the Saints. Carlos Basham Jr., who had a great athletic profile, but he was sort of a divisive prospect. He goes at number 61 to the Buffalo Bills, the edge rusher out of Wake Forest. The Packers finally get some offense, but it's not a skill position player. It's Josh Myers, the center out of Ohio State. Solid pick there. Creed Humphrey, a guy that a lot of Jets fans loved. I think this is a great value pick. He goes to the Chiefs, so not only do they get Orlando Brown, not only do they bolster their defense with Nick Bolton, but they also get themselves Creed Humphrey, who can help their offensive line immensely, too. So, boy, Patrick Mahomes is getting reinforcements. And then the final pick of that round, Clay, you have a vested interest in this one. Kyle Trask, the quarterback out of Florida. I did think it was funny that they were comparing him to Nick Foles. It's a strange use of a second-round pick on somebody that you think could be Nick Foles. But I suppose when you're talking quarterbacks, the value gets inflated because even a decent backup, you're going to have to use a second or third round pick on him. So there you go. There's the second round. Chris, what stood out to you positively and negatively?
Well, we can start with the obvious, the big winner for me, and that's the Cleveland Browns getting Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa. For him to fall, I know he fell because of that tweener thing, but we got to stop doing this with certain players in the NFL. You watch the tape of Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa. He can play. I don't care if he's a tweener. He can play. You can figure it out there. That's not a problem. I love Javonta Williams, of course, as running back. That was great. There's Tevin Jenkins. He slipped much farther than we thought. Some stuff going on medically there that teams weren't too fond of. Moreg was a really nice pick that late. And Asante Samuel Jr. That is somebody that I thought should have gone higher. You know, he's probably, because he's a slot, that's why he fell. And then for Sam Darnold, he's going to get Terrence Marshall Jr. He's going to get a little more help with DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson, Christian McCaffrey. They got some weapons for him now. They need to do a little bit more on the offensive line, but he's going to get some help. And then, of course, just the Chiefs getting Creed Humphrey. The way they have been able to completely rework that offensive line in this one off season, they watched Mahomes get beat up all Super Bowl and said, never again. This is never happening again. We're reworking this entire offensive line, and they got it done.
Yeah, I mean, the first one that stands out is Tevin Jenkins going to the Bears. They traded up to get Justin Fields yesterday, and they traded up to get Tevin Jenkins today. Like, and I love it for them. You have to make sure that your asset is protected. The Bears, they don't have a very good offensive line, and Jenkins was seen by a lot of people as the third best offensive tackle in this class, and he fell here due to his length. He has a little bit of shorter arms. And apparently there was a hip issue and some other stuff. That's why he fell all the way to 39. But that's great value. I think the Bears are doing a good job. It seems like a new front office when they're actually on the hot seat. But I mean, hey, maybe they're better with their backs against the wall. So good for them. Like I said yesterday, the NFL is better when the Bears are good. So I like that pick. I actually like the Liam Eichenberg pick for Miami.
Yeah.
Once they traded Eric Flowers to Washington, that kind of solidified that they think that Robert Hunt is more of a guard. So they're going to kick him inside, and then Eichenberg, I could see him at left tackle, but they'll probably put him at right tackle and keep Austin Jackson on the left. So I do like that for Miami, unfortunately, which means I hate it. one pick of that I really didn't like was Walker Little. I didn't like his tape at all going into the 2019 year, because the last time he played was in 2018. I didn't like his tape, and the fact that he was able to get picked this high without having played a single game in over 2 years is kind of crazy. Yeah. Not gonna lie. So I wish they did something better for Trevor Lawrence, but I mean, I guess people like his potential. So I'm not going to bash it too crazy, but that was definitely one that I disliked the most. I love the Asante Samuel Jr. pick for LA. I said it in our little group chat, Scott. I love it for Staley. Like, Staley gets his alpha corner. Yeah, he's a little smaller. He's not the same profile as Jalen Ramsey. But, hey, I mean, he's a son of an amazing cornerback. He knows what it takes to succeed in this league. And with Staley as his coach, I believe he's calling the plays. I think he's going to do a hell of a job there. And I'm excited to see how he does in LA. Yeah, like the Ojulari pick, it's things like they took my guy Tony in the first round, and then Ojulari, who was one of my favorites, they take the Giants take him in the second round. So I want to bash the Giants, but they're making it hard. I thought it was a good pick. It was good value. I know there's a degenerative knee issue that made him fall this far. But I think this was a good risk for them to take. Good job by Gettleman. Another team that looks like they have a brand new front office. Yeah, the Owusu-Koramoah, I'm not going to go into it too hard, but yeah, that's a great pick for them. They need the speed. Whether he's a linebacker or safety, well, I think they announced him as a linebacker, so he'll probably play there. But you need that speed. I mean, you're going against Lamar Jackson. He's a guy that can play in spy and kind of hunt him down a little bit, because you know Lamar is going to try to kill you with his feet. So I love the pick for them at 52. Incredible value. The 2-2 Atwell, didn't really like it. I understand where the Rams are coming from, where McVay's coming from, but the dude's 150 pounds, and he wasn't Hollywood Brown effective in college. Like, let's just get that straight. Like, I don't understand the value there. This was their first pick in the draft, and they go with 2-2 Atwell. I feel like they could have gone in a couple different spots, maybe with the guy right after their pick, Nick Bolton. I think they could have gotten him. Yeah, Bolton, I think he would have fit that defense a little better than Atwell fits the offense. But, I mean, who am I? And Sean McVay apparently is a genius, so I'm not going to complain too much. But Terrace Marshall, great pick for the Carolina Panthers. I love what they're doing for Sam. Josh Myers, good pick for Green Bay. Creed Humphrey, amazing pick for Kansas City. They saw what happened with their offensive line in the Super Bowl, and they're going after it. That offensive line is completely rebuilt. Got Orlando Brown, Creed Humphrey, who's the – they brought Kyle Long out of retirement. And then who's their right tackle? I know they signed Thuney. Yeah, so like they completely just revamped the offensive line. I love what they're doing for Pat Mahomes, unlike another team that desperately needs to change their offensive line for their star quarterback, Seahawks. But but no, I mean, I love what the Chiefs did there. And, of course, my boy Kyle Trask. I love that he got into the second round. I think it's a good situation for him. He doesn't have to be forced to play right away. He's used to being a backup, so I don't think he'll complain too much, especially behind Tom Brady and a Super Bowl winning team. So, no, there's a lot of good picks out there. And actually, Aaron Banks, I'm happy. You know, it's for my brand. I was a big fan of him. I was surprised to see him in the top 50 going to the Niners at 48. So, no, there's a lot of good picks in the second round.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Third round kicked off with the Jaguars getting Andre Sisco, the safety out of Syracuse, a favorite of a lot of people around these parts just because Syracuse has a lot of Jets fans. So big pick there. Then number 66, one of the picks that the Vikings got in the trade down, they took Kellen Mond, the quarterback out of Texas A&M. Perhaps they're going to be grooming him behind Kirk Cousins. Davis Mills goes right after him to the Houston Texans. So perhaps they're looking at him as a developmental guy that could sit behind Tyrod Taylor if something were to happen with Deshaun Watson, whether it's a trade or something from the league office. Jalen Mayfield, the tackle from Michigan, love this value here for the Falcons at number 68. Joseph Asai, the edge rusher from Texas, goes to the Cincinnati Bengals. Hook 'em. Looking forward to seeing what he can do there. And by the way, I don't know if you're watching the broadcast, but way to go, Joseph Asai. His girlfriend is beautiful. Brady Christensen, the offensive tackle from BYU, he goes to the Panthers. So as you were saying, Chris, and as you were saying, Clayton, even more help now for Sam Darnold. Guess what? All out of excuses. Adam Gase isn't there. He's got a better offensive line. He's got better playmakers. He's got better coaching. It's put up or shut up now for Sam Darnold. Giants made another pick that I really liked at number 71, Aaron Robinson, the cornerback out of UCF. And by the way, I know I'm not the only one that likes that. Andy Vasquez, who's a UCF grad, I'm sure, is a big fan of that pick. Alan McNeil, the defensive tackle from NC State, he goes 72 to the Lions. The Eagles grab Milton Williams, a defensive tackle out of Louisiana Tech at 73. Benjamin St. Juice, the cornerback out of Minnesota, goes number 74 to Washington. Cowboys get Osa Odigizua, the defensive tackle from UCLA. New Orleans at number 76 gets a guy I really like, Paulson Adebo, the cornerback out of Stanford. He was one of my second-tier cornerbacks that I thought the Jets might be able to snag late day two or sometime on day three. They didn't have a pick in the third round, so it wasn't going to happen here. The Chargers get Josh Palmer, the wide receiver out of Tennessee at 77. At 78, the Vikings get Chaz Surratt, the linebacker out of North Carolina, converted quarterback. Malcolm Kuntz, the defensive end from Buffalo, goes to the Raiders with the first of two picks in a row. The second pick at number 80, they get Divine Diablo, the safety from Virginia Tech. Hunter Long, the tight end from Boston College, goes to the Dolphins. Washington gets a great pick at number 82. Dynami Brown, the wide receiver out of North Carolina. Boy, what a receiving core they are building there with Dynami Brown, Terry McLaurin, and Curtis Samuel. If they could just get a quarterback there somehow, between the offensive line improving, the weapons, and that defense turning into one of the best defenses in the conference, they have a lot of pieces in place. They just got to find themselves a quarterback. At number 83, the Panthers get Tommy Tremble, the tight end from Notre Dame. Chauncey Golston, defensive end out of Iowa, goes to the Cowboys at 84. The Packers finally get a weapon for Aaron Rodgers or Jordan Love if they trade Aaron Rodgers in Amari Rodgers. So one Rodgers may go, another one may come in. If Aaron Rodgers goes, it's because we now know that the Packers have a one Rodgers at a time rule. So Amari Rodgers, who is the son of T. Martin, the former national championship winning quarterback and coach, but he won his championship at Tennessee, was coaching at USC for a while. He goes to the Green Bay Packers. He was the favorite target of Trevor Lawrence at Clemson. The Vikings, with the other pick that they got from the Jets, get Wyatt Davis, the guard from Ohio State. Steelers get Kendrick Green. I know he was a favorite of myself, Clayton, and Luke Grant, but unfortunately, he is off the board. Steelers nabbed him at number 87, the guard out of Illinois. Trey Sermon, who I thought could be interesting if he made it to the fourth round, he didn't, the running back out of Ohio State. He goes to the 49ers. The Texans get Nico Collins, a wide receiver from Michigan at 89. Patrick Jones, the second, the edge rusher from Pittsburgh, goes to the Vikings at number 90. At number 91, another move I love for the Cleveland Browns. They added some big-time speed here. Anthony Schwartz, the wide receiver out of Auburn, former guest of Play Like a Jet Live with Luke and Clayton, fastest man in the draft. A lot of comparisons to Robbie Anderson because he's very raw as a wide receiver but has just fantastic speed. Monty Rice, the linebacker from Georgia, goes at number 92 to the Tennessee Titans. At 93, the Bills get Spencer Brown, the offensive tackle from Northern Iowa. Ben Cleveland, who is like the Incredible Hulk, the guard from Georgia, he goes at 94 to the Ravens. The Buccaneers get Robert Hainsey, the guard from Notre Dame. New England, with their compensation pick that they got for Tom Brady, I'm not going to say that it was worth it for Tom Brady, but boy, did they make the most of this one. Ronnie Perkins, the edge rusher from Oklahoma, couldn't believe that he was still on the board here. Thought he could be an early second rounder. He slips all the way to 96. Trey McKitty, tight end from Georgia, goes at 97 to the Chargers. I was surprised to see him go this early. This was a traits pick because there wasn't a ton of production. He had a major injury his 1 year at Georgia after transferring from Florida State, but they decided that they liked his athletic profile, and so that's where they went here. Quinn Miners, who a lot of us liked as a potential pick for the Jets, the center from Wisconsin Whitewater, who is one of the stars of Senior Bowl week, he goes to the Saints at 98. The Cowboys at 99 get Nashawn Wright, the cornerback out of Oregon State. Elijah Molden, who I know that you really like, Clay, slot corner from the University of Washington. He goes to the Titans at pick number 100. The Lions picked a guy that we were all hoping would fall to the Jets. Ife Milifonwu, the cornerback out of Syracuse. He goes at 101 to the Lions. At number 102, the San Francisco 49ers get Ambry Thomas, the cornerback from Michigan. Ernest Jones, the linebacker from South Carolina, goes to the Rams at 103. The Ravens get Brandon Stevens, the cornerback from Southern Methodist, at 104. And the final pick of round number three, the Broncos get Baron Browning, the linebacker from Ohio State. So, Chris, what stood out to you here in round number three, positively and negatively?
Well, the first, like, 10, 11 picks of the round, I'm watching these names come off, and I'm like, okay, this isn't too bad. There's nobody coming off that, like, I'm thinking should be going eyeing for the Jets right there. But then it came in, they started flying it. I really love the Paulson Adebo pick by the Saints. That's somebody that I thought the Jets would be targeting if they had kept those third-round picks. I really, really love him. I love the Josh Palmer pick for the Chargers too. You know, he's at Tennessee, so he didn't get a lot to work with as a receiver there. But for him to go and slot in right with Mike Williams and Keenan Allen and Justin Herbert throwing him the ball, I think he's going to be a very nice weapon for them. So that was one. Dynami Brown going to that Washington football team with Terry McLaurin and now Curtis Samuel, that's an absolute track team of a wide receiver group. Just absolutely phenomenal. Kendrick Green, the Steelers went and snatched him up. It's another guy I thought the Jets could have been trying to target in this round or a little bit later. So that was one guy. And then, yeah, I liked Elijah Molden as well. And then right after him, Ifeanyi Melifonwu was another guy I really liked. The Lions got him. I like what the Lions are doing. It's interesting because I don't think I've ever liked this many teams' drafts. Like, it feels like I like almost every team's draft except for, like, three teams. Like, the Jags outside of Trevor Lawrence and, like, the Raiders. And I'm sure there's somebody else. But I really like so many of these teams' drafts.
Yeah, and speaking of that, I'm going through this third round, and two teams are standing out. I think the Panthers have done a really good job in this draft. I wanted them to go offense in the first round to help Sam, but they went with J.C. Horn, who I know you love, Scott, and I'm a huge fan of his as well. He was my first cornerback in this draft. And then the second round, we talked about it, went with Terrace Marshall, and then they go with Brady Christensen in the third round. And I believe they had another third-round pick that I'm just missing. Tommy Tremble. Yeah, they got Tommy Tremble. And I think he's incredible for this offense. I mean, he has, like, similar traits to George Kittle when he came out. I don't want to say George Kittle now, but when George Kittle came out. He's a great blocker. He didn't really get the ball a lot at Notre Dame. He wasn't really known for his receiving. They had an incredible freshman tight end, Michael Meyer. So he was more so the top target. But I like what Carolina's doing. And also Denver, George Patton, he's having a great first draft. I know he had – obviously he drafted Javonte Williams. He got Quinn Miners late in the third round, and he ended the third round with Baron Browning. I think those are three really solid day two picks. Those three really kind of really stood out. But – as for, like, just individual picks in this round, there was obviously that little run of quarterbacks, three quarterbacks and four picks, obviously starting with Kyle Trask at 64 and then Kellermond at 66 and Davis Mills at 67. I'm very curious to see what happens with the Minnesota dynamic, like, how is Kirk Cousins going to respond to this? Obviously, I don't think he's in any position to pull what Aaron Rodgers is trying to pull, but I mean, it's interesting because Kellermond is literally the anti-Kirk Cousins. So I don't know what Minnesota's trying to do there. And then Davis Mills, with everything happening with Deshaun Watson, is Davis Mills potentially their future, or is he just an insurance policy? And if he's just an insurance policy, I think that's a terrible way to use your first pick in this draft. So, I mean, we'll see what happens there. Joseph Asai going 69 to Cincinnati. I thought that was a great value pick for them after going offense the first two picks. Aaron Robinson, you mentioned this guy. I think that's a good pick for the Giants. The Giants are having a really good draft, and I hate to say it, but they are. He went to UCF, and obviously being from New Jersey, and now I'm in Orlando, I have some kind of – I have a little bit to do with both of those teams, so I thought that was pretty interesting. I also like the Divine Diablo pick. I wanted him to fall to the fourth round for the Jets as a potential option. He's at safety / linebacker. They actually announced him as a linebacker, even though he played safety at Virginia Tech. So he's going to fill that, like, Will role that I expected him to play if he was drafted by the Jets. So I really like that at 80. Yeah, you mentioned Dyami Brown. Washington's really building something there. I'm very intrigued to see what the next step is that they take in 2021, but they need a quarterback, so who knows what's going to happen there. Kendrick Green at 87 going to the Steelers. He'll most likely play center if I had to guess. So obviously they have David DeCastro and they drafted the fifth round guard or fourth round guard last year, and the name's just escaping me. But he had a really good rookie year for a fourth, fifth round pick. So I expect Kendrick Green to replace Pouncey at center. Trey Sermon going to the Niners. I think that's going to be a solid pick there. He fits that scheme a little bit. Shanahan in that offense, obviously, it doesn't matter who you are. You're going to run for a ton of yards per carry more often than not. My boy Anthony Schwartz, we just spoke to him on Wednesday. Great guy. Going to Cleveland. He's going to go to a good spot. He's not going to be asked to play a ton right away, I don't think. He'll probably be more of a gadget, be used on jet sweeps, reverses, and all that kind of stuff, because that blazing speed, you have to get it on the field at some point. And then, yeah, guys like Ronnie Perkins, I couldn't believe he fell. Elijah Molden, I really wanted him to go to the Jets just to have that Elijah trifecta. Because I remember, I think it was our second episode of Play Like a Jet Live with U Stadium, we were kind of going over each guy that we liked at, in day two. And I mentioned, after doing day one, I said Elijah Vera Tucker, that was my guy. And then day two, I got the Elijah Moore and then Elijah Molden. I'm like, wow, yeah, if your name's Elijah, I like you. That's it. Like, I want you on the Jets. So I thought that would have been pretty cool to have three Elijahs in one draft. But, yeah, him going to 100, I think that's good value for Tennessee, especially after getting rid of Malcolm Butler and who's the other corner that went to the Giants, Adoree. If you guys can help me out. Yeah, Adoree Jackson. Yeah, so getting another corner there, I think that would be helpful for them. And then, like I said, actually, there's two names that I actually have no idea who they are. Nashawn Wright and Brandon Stevens. So good job, Dallas and Baltimore. You two were the first to actually pick a player that I just have no idea who they are.
Kevin Ostreicher, who hosts Locked On Ravens and is the managing editor of Ravens Wire, says that he has it on good authority that a lot of teams were interested in Brandon Stevens. I'm with you, though, Clay. I don't really know much about him. So I guess these teams are higher on him than we were. Then again, they get paid to do this, so they have to know who all these guys are, and they have to know who's still left on the board. There's some interesting prospects that are still there. Jabril Cox is probably the top guy on a lot of people's boards, at least in the draft community, the linebacker from LSU. If the Jets have the opportunity to pick him at 107, it would be tempting. They desperately need somebody who can bring what he has to the table at off-ball linebacker. All they've got is C.J. Mosley and Jared Davis, and Jared Davis is a chronic underachiever. C.J. Mosley hasn't played in 2 years, so they could really use somebody with his skill and youth. Will be interesting to see if they go there. Michael Carter, the running back from North Carolina, also on the board. He's a possibility. Chris Rumpf II, the edge rusher from Duke. There's another guy. Tay Gowan, the cornerback from UCF. Somebody that could be of interest to the Jets. They definitely need a cornerback. Trey Smith, the guard from Tennessee. Deontay Brown, the guard from Alabama. Both of those guys, huge men that could help fill voids on the offensive line for the Jets. Sean Wade, I don't know that they necessarily get him in round 4, but maybe a little bit later. What a fall from grace. A lot of people thought he could be a first-round pick going into the season. Instead, he struggled. I think he probably ends up being either a slot or a safety at the NFL level, but maybe somebody takes him and bets on the upside. Brevin Jordan, the tight end from Miami, that's some value there. Ramondre Stevenson, the running back out of Oklahoma, big guy, could provide some value at the running back position if they don't get Michael Carter or Kenny Gainwell. Dylan Moses, the linebacker out of Alabama, high recruit out of high school, not the best college career, but still productive, so that's somebody that the Jets could look to. Trill Williams, a safety out of Syracuse. I don't know that they necessarily need to go safety, but he's a good player, local kid, and that might be somebody that's worth getting for them. Jalen Moore, the offensive guard out of Western Michigan. We know that the Jets just hired his former position coach, so he knows Jalen Moore very well. We'll be curious to see if they go out and get him. Ham Clair Rashid Jr. didn't do anything this year, but the year before he had a ton of sacks, so maybe he's worth a late round flyer. Shaka Toney, the edge rusher from Penn State, another guy who is an interesting name. Cam McGrone, the inside linebacker from Michigan. He was hurt, but you heard Brett Coleman talk about him. He's somebody that could make a lot of sense if the Jets don't get Dylan Moses or Jabril Cox in round four. And then Greedy Williams' brother, Radarius Williams, the cornerback from Oklahoma, a very strong possibility for the Jets there. As we know, they do still need a cornerback. And I think there are other running backs that you could look at too. Kylan Hill, Khalil Herbert, another possibility. And then at the end of the draft, I would not be against the Jets picking either Evan McPherson, the kicker from Florida, or the kicker from Miami, Jose Borregales. So if they were to go and try and solve that kicker problem for the next 10 years with that final sixth round pick, I think it would be a wise move, same way that they did last year, the punter position, going out and getting Braden Mann from Texas A&M. So we'll wait to see what happens tomorrow, at which point we will return to recap that day, and we'll have much more coverage of what the Jets do, because they've got a lot of picks coming up tomorrow. Two in the fourth, two in the fifth, two in the sixth. So a lot of action there for Joe Douglas. Chris Nimbley, the very big deal. The owner, the operator, the lead reporter, the whole shebang over at JetsInsider.com. Make sure that you're checking out his very big deal work over there and following him on Twitter at CNimbley and at Jets Insider. Clayton Smarslock, his work is available at PlayLikeAJet.com, and he's the co-host of Play Like a Jet Live every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock with U Stadium and Play Like a Jet, a little crossover project that we have going. Make sure that you check out Clayton's work that he just put up at PlayLikeAJet.com on Elijah Moore. Really good article talking about the draft pick at number 34. That's there at this very moment. And if you haven't given us a 5-star review on iTunes yet, if you could go ahead and do that for us, really appreciate it. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and PlayLikeAJet.com.